All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I will remind you guys that Stan McDonald, attorney at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, Stan McDonald is a longtime Right Side ruffian, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. He is, in fact, the daily sponsor of your Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan in just a minute. Okay, so let me just start off by saying the obvious. War drums are pounding again. They are. I've been on the air now for 4 years. And in that 4 years, I have commented multiple times on armed conflict around the world. I mean, just since Right Side Radio went live in the summer of 2021, I have provided commentary on the debacle pullout from Afghanistan, the onset and continuation of the war in Ukraine, the conflicts in Syria, the October 7th massacres in Israel, followed by wars against Hamas and Hezbollah, and the U.S. bombing of the Houthi rebels, and the Iranians launching major missile strikes last year against Israel. And in the last 24 hours, we've now seen the conflict with Iran take on a new and devastating escalation as Israel began a bombing campaign to destroy the nuclear capabilities of Iran. And yeah, this is a really huge, hairy deal. It is. This is not some faraway conflict with people that we don't identify with. This is not some effort by some tinpot dictator to seize a little turf. This is a full-on war in the most unstable region of unstable regions. So let me just tell you a few things to be aware of. Things for you to know and log away as part of your future discussions, because I know this audience, you guys are going to be talking about this with your friends and family and associates at work. So first of all, I will say this, I'm not for war. I'm not at all for war, but I do understand it. Anybody who's ever served in war will tell you it should be the last resort, but the first discussion. By that I mean, last resort, first discussion, that appeasement and isolationism, those are what breeds conflict. You have to always be able to win friends and kill enemies all at the same time, and your enemies should know that. They know that, and they are more likely to be deterred. Secondly, you got to keep in mind that Israel did not launch a war last night. They didn't. They didn't launch a war. They are working to end one. It is Israel that has now endured decades of attrition of their own people from the hands of the Iranian proxies like Hezbollah to their north and Hamas to their east and west, funded by Iran. It was Hamas who committed the atrocities of October 7th, 2023, that had a higher per capita impact on the people of Israel than 9/11 did on the U.S. And it was Iran that launched missile strikes against Israel twice last year, twice, in April and October of 2024, massive drone and ballistic missile barrages rained their way towards Israel, nation on nation. It is also Iran that has screamed death to Israel and death to America for decades. And it is Iran, with all that history, who has the international community agrees was within weeks of achieving nuclear weapons capability, something that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia recently said would require a Middle Eastern arms race, as Saudi Arabia would not be able to sit still and let Iran become the sole nuclear Middle Eastern power. It would have a complete shift in the overall climate of international relations in the Middle East. And we should not believe for a second, by the way, that any additional appeasement or efforts for containment would have ever deterred Iran from going nuclear. Only a fool would ever believe that. So here we are. And bombs are going off in Iran. So what does this mean? What should we expect? How does it impact us? Well, Secretary Rubio issued a statement last night saying the U.S. is not participating, but we are also not stopping it, which means that Iran, who likes to claim that Israel is a puppet of the U.S., will still blame the U.S. They will. They already are. So we've evacuated our troops. But we've also used all source intelligence that was already there. Think back. We've been pulling troops out of Syria for months. We've been bombing the Houthis to restore freedom of passage for shipping. We've been working to firmly reestablish solid relations with Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar. Since Trump was elected, the efforts at bridging gaps and building relations and currying favor with other Middle Eastern nations has been a top-ranked foreign policy effort. They've known this day was coming, and we knew we'd needed a better posture than the one that had been left behind for us by the Biden team. We've also assisted Israel in its efforts to degrade the proxy fighters of Hamas and Hezbollah. This was necessary in order to keep Iran off balance and make them unable to launch a multi-pronged offensive from different places around Israel, and gives Israel some geographic buffer, if you will, what the military calls a standoff capability. Israel has also, by the way, in the last 12 hours, taken out key Iranian generals, and after last year's missile strikes, Israel has also severely crippled Iran's air defenses. So, you know, you may be asking, well, why didn't Israel just wait a little bit longer? I mean, isn't there a negotiation ongoing right now? Well, yeah, there is. Aren't we trying to get Iran to walk away from nukes? Yes, but those talks have proven fruitless. And Iran was trying to get its air defense back online. And what we know now was that Iran had been given 60 days to negotiate, and they failed to do so. Last night was day 61. So Iran also, by the way, just announced that it just fielded a new and larger scale ballistic missile that has twice the payload capability of their previous missiles. And the intelligence suggests that Iran may have achieved nuclear capability with up to 9 or more warheads within weeks. And waiting would have allowed Iran then to stiff-arm the world while it ran for the nuclear goal line. There's an old axiom that dates back to the 4th century in Rome. Sive passum parabellum. You hear it? Sive passum parabellum. It means if you want peace, you prepare for war. That's not a warmongering, overly hawkish view seeking a call to arms. It's not. It's a view of history. It's the knowledge that one cannot enter into a playground filled with bullies and come out okay unless the bullies know that you're carrying a big stick. History is replete with obvious parallels to where we are right now. Let's hope that history doesn't repeat itself on some of those. Because history does tell the tale. And I don't ever want to be that guy who just spouts off with half-cocked assertions and misplaced fact patterns. So I sat down when I was preparing this monologue and I thought, you know what, I better review the sequence of events that led up to the onset of two of the most epic wars in the history of the world. And I wasn't too far off the mark. As I read over the historical analyses of what kicked off World War I and World War II, I was struck by how much I could see in those events that mirrored or at least had a sense of similarity to where we have been, with events that we're watching unfold right now. Like this, how about if I was to say to you a quote, feckless Western leadership emboldened the militaristic socialist leader of the reemerging power. What would that be? Would you think I was talking about the lead up to World War II? Or would you think about the way the Biden administration was handling Iran? Exactly. That statement fits both. You can apply that phrase equally to then and now. How about this one? Quote, Western allies pledged their support to one another in a posturing manner that nonetheless failed to stem the tide of rising tides of war. Would that be the lead up to World War I? Or is that our situation now as what happened during the Biden era leading up to the Trump era? History dictates that rarely has broad conflict in either Europe or the Middle East ever remained a non-issue for the North American continent. The Atlantic Ocean is not a real strong barrier, sometimes it seems, when those regions fully explode. It always seems to follow certain patterns: cross-border rivalries, ethnic identities that transcend borders, aggressive posturing by a domineering figure, and then an incident occurs that lights the short fuse on the powder keg. Always coupled, it seems, by some measure of feckless leadership leading up to that point that thought it could reason with the tyrant, only to find out that tyrants cannot be trusted because deceitfulness is in the very nature of tyrants. The lead-up to World War II was pretty equally ominously familiar. As Hitler determined to cause Germany to reemerge from the ashes of its downfall in World War I, the rest of Europe stood idly by, just hoping they wouldn't be drawn in. Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain of Great Britain, he championed a policy of appeasement. He literally worked to find ways possible to sort of make Hitler happy, to mitigate his concerns. And yet Europe watched while Hitler grew his war machine and annexed Austria, much like Putin has annexed Crimea, and much like you see things battling out right now with proxy states being funded by Iran. So, as Iran uses Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis, Hitler's new war machine first fought its proxy war in the Spanish Civil War. If you're a history buff, you'll know that. Went and tested out all of its weapon systems. Sort of put the world on notice. This is the kind of people we are. The Spanish Civil War. Many of their new weapon systems were in fact tested, and the puppet governments were propped up, and Europe stood by. And you got to wonder, is that what happens when half of Lebanon is controlled by Hezbollah? When all of the Gaza Strip is controlled by Hamas? Is that what it means when the Houthis control whole swaths of Yemen? You've all heard that old axiom, and I told you about it a moment ago, that we are doomed to repeat our history. And that whole thing about sive passum parabellum, if you want peace, prepare for war, it's real. Everything I just described to you a few minutes ago, you could simply have the names changed and you could apply those quotes to the current events that are unfolding before our very eyes. A reemerging world power, Iran. Or was it Germany? Let's see. Hungry for the glory days. Well, that would be Iran. That could have been Germany. seeking to flex their muscles under the leadership of a ruthless dictator. Well, that could be Ayatollahs or that could be Hitler. Seeking to, I don't know, have a dictator who feels no shame in declaring the death of neighboring countries. Death to Israel. Death to America. An effectless leadership who watched and hoped and wrung their bony hands with the hope that this time a policy of appeasement might actually work. So look, again, I don't want my family and friends who are currently serving in the military to start serving another Middle Eastern conflict. I don't. I don't at all. And I will tell you this with all measure and sincerity, we better take this seriously. We better not draw silly red lines in the sand. We better not get into such a reclusive and isolationist mindset, though, that we also forget to ensure that our best defense is indeed the capability of force projection in an overwhelming capacity. Sive pacem, para bellum. If you want peace, you prepare for war. If your enemies tell you they want you dead, you ought to believe them. If they don't, watch to see if they follow through on it. That's not a warmongering, overly hawkish view. Again, it's not. It's a pragmatic view of history. And history is replete with some obvious parallels to where we are right now. Let's hope that history does not repeat itself. Let's hope and pray that we can see this shut down very quickly. Sive pacem, para bellum. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way.